everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass, and we're back with the second part of the show. Thanks for joining me today. It's time to take a really good breath. And what's fantastic about breathing right now, breathing in the month of June here in New York, my favorite tree, the linden tree, is starting to bloom, and it is the most amazing fragrance anywhere. We have a linden tree growing quite tall in front of our terrace, and it hasn't bloomed yet, and it better bloom soon. But it's just wonderful to smell that air. And it's summer. Happy summer to everyone. Okay, let's move on. I would like to introduce my next guest. Eunice Wong is a multi-award-winning actor, writer, editor, and teacher. Her most recent book that we're going to be talking about today, What the Health, is the official companion book to the documentary of the same name. She also wrote The Sustainability Secret, the official companion book to the documentary Cowspiracy. And she was a recent speaker at the 2017 Asheville Vegan Fest in North Carolina. There's a lot more to learn about Eunice Wong, and you can go to our website, eunicewong.com. Right now, we're going to be talking about What the Health. Hi, Eunice. How are you today?
Hi, Karen. I'm well. How are you?
Good. I am well. Thank you. It's nice to be well. We just spent the last half hour talking about being prepared.
I know.
About death
I heard
and
the
dying.
Interview, and it was fascinating and so needed. I mean, such a necessary addition to the sort of vegan literature that's out there.
I know. No one gets out of this world alive.
No, that's true.
But why shouldn't we feel as good as we can for as long as we can?
Yep, that's true. There's a quote, there's an interview with Dr. Neil Barnard in What the Health, and he says, while we're alive, let's be alive.
Mm. So many people believe as we age that pain is normal, that high blood pressure is normal.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not.
Yeah, it's not. And you guys talked about Dr. Greger's book, How Not to Die. He actually talked in that book about how people don't die of old age. They die of disease. So old age itself is not the thing that gives us our aches and pains and the inflammation and the arthritis. It's something going, you know, awry in the body.
You cover everything in this book that's related to food and health, and even more than that. We talk a lot on this show. I've been doing this show. I'm in the ninth year now. So we've talked about food and the horrors of dairy and meat and chicken and fish and GMOs and organic food versus conventional. And it's all in this book. What I want to talk about are the things that I find the scariest to me, because even though I take the time and the care to buy the best food I possibly can, organic whenever possible, and I'm major vegan, and I choose the foods that I believe are the healthiest for me, and I make them fabulously delicious, there's a number of things that are out of my control that are especially scary, and you talk about them in this book. So let's start with one scary topic, which is antibiotic resistance.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so antibiotic resistance. Dr. Margaret Chan, who was the Director General of the World Health Organization, I'm not sure if she was the first one to bring it up, but she brought it up in a WHO meeting in 2011 on World Health Day. And she said that this era of post-antibiotic resistance is coming upon us, and it is a global health crisis. And one of the major drivers of post-antibiotic era is the enormous, inconceivable amounts of antibiotics that are poured into the feed of animals that we raise for food and, you know, for their secretions, because they're kept in such appalling conditions that that's like one of the it gives them a remote chance of surviving, basically, to have this antibiotic into their systems constantly, even if they're not sick. And so these animals develop antibiotic resistance, which means that they develop diseases and infections that are literally resistant to the antibiotics and then become untreatable. And then the human workers in the factory farms also contract that antibiotic resistance and bring it out into the human community. And the problem with this, of course, is that our antibiotics are now failing. And the danger of a post-antibiotic era is that you could die potentially from an infection contracted from scraping your knee on the sidewalk, or if you get strep throat, or the most basic medical procedures, what we consider basic today, would be extremely dangerous because we would no longer have the antibiotics to render those operations safe.
It's extremely frightening, and it's not fair.
It's absolutely
it's not fair.
Yeah.
It's not fair to me. I'm being selfish right now.
I know.
Well, I've spent decades doing the best that I can. One of the titles
that Kip and Keegan were considering for their film originally was Secondhand Eating. And that's exactly what it is. Because you always hear about secondhand smoking, right? That's why people give smokers the dirty looks when they're in crowded spaces, because you're like, okay, I'm inhaling your carcinogens. That should not be happening. But it's secondhand eating, because the eating habits of our country, of our culture, are in so many ways, I mean, many ways beyond antibiotic resistance, are affecting the lives of those of us who are attempting to eat as healthfully as we can and not to support these systems of, you know, factory farming. And it's absolutely unfair. Yeah.
I think, you know, I don't want to believe in the doomsday theory, but sometimes I call myself, I don't know what it is, an optimistic pessimist, pessimistic optimist. I like to stay happy and optimistic, but I really think we're doomed. And the plague could be one of them, you know, this antibiotic resistance. It's either we're going to melt or the plague or maybe a combination.
Yeah, I mean, I know we're not here to talk about climate change, but I am so terrified about global warming. And, of course, the animal agriculture industry blends into that. But I think it is a combination of stuff. It's the climate, and the climate will affect our food supply. And, you know, it's everything is interconnected. Like, I love Carol Adams' work because she connects the dots between feminism and veganism. And it's the same here. The connections between the environmental movement, the animal rights movement, the health movement, they're interrelated, and you really can't pull them apart without tugging on another thread that belongs to another movement. And that's what I think people need to realize, that, you know, great, if you want to become vegan because you want to lose 20 pounds, that's one thing. But, you know, we really need to start looking at everything holistically, and nothing's going to change until we do that.
Okay, let's connect these dots a little bit. I want to mention, I didn't mention this before, but you also wrote with Kip Anderson and Keegan Kuhn, The Sustainability Secret, which was the companion book to their movie, Cowspiracy. And I spoke with them. That was about, I don't know, 3 years ago or so on this program. But you talked about the United States government in your book and the policies or the lack of policies or the policies that aren't followed. And here's one where we can talk about the connection between the environment and health, where scientists were preparing guidelines for the USDA. And they actually came out and said that the environment affects our health and should be part of the nutrition guidelines. And then all the lobbyists came along and said, no, that's out.
Yeah. Yep. And the lobbyists and the government are an enormous part of the problem. I mean, the meat, dairy, and egg industries spend at least $138 million, I believe, lobbying Congress alone a year. That's just Congress. And the government wants that money to keep coming in, and so they return the favor. And each $1 industry contribution, each of those $1 of that $138 million, results usually in a $2,000 return as federal tax subsidies. So it's like this, you scratch my back, you scratch mine, and I'll scratch yours, and the one who's left out of the equation is the American public, whose illnesses are being turned into a money-making commodity. I mean, we really are. Like, our heart disease, our cancers, our diabetes are a money-making engine just as much as the pigs in their gestation crates or the dairy cows.
There are many people who feel that it's their right to be able to consume whatever they want. And they get very aggravated when they hear people like us, maybe we're not in their face, but talking about these issues related to food and what's healthy and what isn't. And they have no idea how manipulated they have been. And
yeah,
they talk about this right, this free choice.
Mm-hmm.
And their decisions aren't made from free choice.
Yeah.
Their decisions have been made from marketing brainwashing.
I know. Well, one of the most creepy things in the research for the film and this book are the government checkoff programs. That's
mm-hmm.
like check it off, not as in Anton Chekhov, unfortunately.
We love
it. I know, because that's Chekhov. When I first heard it, I heard it rather than read it, and I was like, Chekhov programs, that sounds amazing. But no, it has nothing to do with the Russian playwright.
And Chekhov, so, I'm digressing here, but he was an environmentalist.
Yeah, he was an amazing man in so many ways. He was aware of so many of these problems.
Yes. Okay,
yeah,
back to the government Chekhov problem.
Yeah, a little theater geek moment there. So these checkoff programs, they are incredible, and most people don't know about them, even though they've seen the fruits of them. Everyone's seen these advertising campaigns like milk, it does a body good, beef, it's what's for dinner, pork, the other white meat. But people don't realize that these are government-run, federal government-run advertising schemes for specific food industries like milk, like beef, like pork. And how it works is that each producer of these foods are taxed a certain amount. I don't know the amounts, but for instance, like, say, the dairy industry, everyone is taxed a dollar a gallon, whatever. And then that dollar, the hypothetical dollar, gets put into this enormous fund, which is then run by the USDA. And so they have this huge amount of money, and the government will run these advertising programs to promote these foods to the public so that the public will keep buying them and keep, you know, supporting the animal agriculture industries, which then send their millions of dollars to the government in lobbying money. And the checkoff programs also run advertising for something they called industry trendsetters. So something like McDonald's or Domino's Pizza or Wendy's, they're industry trendsetters because they can sell a certain amount of dairy in cheese or in beef or in pork, in bacon. And so an advertising campaign like Wendy's Bacon Double Cheeseburger is a government program. And, in fact, the Supreme Court ruled that these checkoff programs are government speech because they are administered by the USDA and created by Congress. And so we have government speech. It's very Big Brother, very 1984, telling us that we should eat these foods that mountains of scientific literature have revealed are literally killing us, you know, placing us in chronic health conditions, chronic diseases, and or killing us.
Oh, I have to take a deep breath every time I hear this stuff. I mean, I know it, and then I hear it, and it's...
I know.
I just gets me in my gut.
I know, and now, I feel like information, knowledge, getting this knowledge out, like, we do know it, and every time I hear it, I feel this thing in my gut, too. But so many people don't know it, and that's the big obstacle, I feel like, to change. It's like, if people knew this and changed their buying habits, I mean, I always say that being vegan is the most direct action that you can make. You know, what can you do about the fossil fuel industry? What can you do about building wind turbines onshore and offshore? Not a whole lot, unless you have, like, billions of dollars. But as a vegan, you can, you know, direct action every single day, three times a day. And I don't know if you saw in the New York Times recently, there was a feature of this nonprofit called, what was it called? It was called Project Drawdown.
Oh, yes. And I'm going to be speaking with Paul Hawken in a few months. Yes.
Yeah. It's an international coalition of climate scientists who have sort of ranked the methods of most effectively halting or slowing down, at least, global warming. And, you know, the first one was, like, manage refrigerants, like the disposal of refrigerators and air conditioners. Second one was wind turbines onshore. Third one was food waste. And the fourth one was a plant-based diet. And they said in their website that eating a plant-based diet is probably the most effective thing an individual can do to affect climate change.
To affect everything.
Can you tell I'm obsessed?
Everything. It affects everything.
Yes, it does.
Everything. Climate change. Healthcare costs. Down. Everything.
Yeah. Right.
Oh. Anyway, I've been talking about this for years, but it's great to see it come together, not only in a book, but in a film. And I'm not sure which I prefer because they both have a value. So what I like in the book is you can really sit and savor every horrible piece of information that's in there as you learn it and see the references. And then let's take an example. The film opens with the doctor who's the chief scientist at the American Diabetes Association. And if you don't believe in the book that this man actually says what he says, you can see it.
You can see it, yes.
There's no amount of editing, you know, like reality show editing, to make him appear any different. You see it all in the film.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or he denies evidence.
Well, yeah, and he just shuts Kip down. I mean, Kip asks a very simple question about a study, and he's not, you know, he's not getting in his face or being argumentative. He's literally just asking a question. And this guy just shuts him off, and he says, I'm not going to go there. The interview is over. Goodbye. And it's like, wow, what just happened? That was very, very strange.
Now, this guy, does he know he's in this film?
I'm sure he does, and I don't know if he's had any reaction to it, but I'm sure he must know that he's in the film. I love the film. I've seen it so many times. I've seen it in tons of rough cuts. And what I love about the film is that you can sit down and in 90 minutes get the gist of this argument. And what I love about the book is that because I had so much more space in the book and I had unlimited access to the literally hundreds of hours of interviews that Kip and Keegan did with these amazing people who appear in the film, I could go through the entire transcript. And whereas they were limited to a few minutes of showing the interview, I could put in enormous chunks of the interviews that never appeared in the film. And sort of follow different paths. Like there's a whole section on George McGovern in the book that doesn't appear in the film that I love because 40 years ago, this man tried to tell the American public that eating animal products was a public health concern. And he was shut down by the animal agriculture industries. And it's this, you know, on the one hand, very disheartening, and on the other hand, extremely inspiring because he was trying to tell the truth. And I feel like now the truth is starting to come out, and we just have to keep on doing that. You know, we can't be discouraged by the billions of dollars that these industries have, or the sort of like the negative press that the dairy industry is throwing onto the soy milk industry, because now the soy milk industry is taking a bite out of the dairy industry. We just have to keep on telling people and spreading the word.
You know, some people would maybe criticize and say you're trying to create conspiracy theories. And I just know firsthand, for example, my grandfather, who I've never met because he died when my dad was six, he was a milkman in the 30s. And this was during a time of something called the Milk Wars. And he was a union activist trying to get a better deal for the milk deliverers because they just kept cutting the price. And the people that were struggling were the people, the farmers that were making the milk and the deliverers, everybody except, I guess, some powerful people who were in control of the whole business. They murdered him.
Oh, my God.
Murdered him. Murder Incorporated. And I mean, there's no telling what can happen when people are in a position of power and making a lot of money, and what they will do to keep it.
Yeah, and I often hear questions about bias, like, oh, you're just biased. You want everyone to be vegan because of the environment or because of the animals. And I just say, you know, look at the facts. Like, for instance, Kaiser Permanente, which is one of the country's largest nonprofit health plans, began advocating in 2013 for its, like, something like 17,000 doctors to actively and, you know, firmly encourage their patients to avoid eating animal products, because for them, it's in their best interest. They're an insurance company. Of course they want people to be healthy. And so they're looking at the science saying, wait a minute, if people are eating the standard American diet, we're going to have to pay out all of this money so that they can have their heart bypasses and their stents and their chemotherapy and whatever else. But they're doing it for the money, you know, of course. But they're asking their doctors to tell, to educate their patients to be plant-based. You know, that's not bias. That's just their, that's the fact. That's scientific evidence.
Yes, and then you have to educate the doctors. And as you talked in your book about a recent law that Dr. John McDougall tried to put forward in California.
California.
It didn't go very well.
No. And that was the amazing thing, because it was the medical associations who were fighting back against having nutrition education for doctors. They said that it was too much time. I think Dr. McDougall initially asked for 12 hours every 4 years of nutrition education, and then they cut it down to 12 and got cut down to 7, and then it got cut down to 0, and that's when the bill passed. So.
Yeah, it has a lot of meat in it, that bill. Okay, Eunice, we have 2 minutes left, and I just want to know, how did you come to where you are with your philosophy about veganism?
I watched Cowspiracy, very honestly.
Wow.
And I was shocked, because I'd always considered myself an environmentalist, and I didn't know anything that was in that film, and I was absolutely shocked. And I just felt like I couldn't live with the hypocrisy of now knowing what I know and continue to eat animal products and say that I want this earth to thrive and to be sustainable. And the more I learned, I veered off from environmentalism. I learned about the horrific conditions on factory farms. Of course, I spent a lot of time researching this book on health. And the more I learn, the more, as I said, everything is connected. And there's just no way that I would ever live any other way now that I know what I know. And I have to live by my own beliefs, which are about the environment, which are about compassion and nonviolence and, you know, being healthy so that we can continue to fight for change.
Yes. Well, Eunice, thank you very much for joining me today. And it's all about food. And I believe we should all be living what we believe in.
Yes. Yes,
and what absolutely. The hell can help you. So read the book, see the documentary. Thank you for joining me again on It's All About Food. We have just a minute left, and I wanted to remind you that we have a nonprofit. It's called Responsible Eating and Living. You can find us at responsibleeatingandliving.com. It's a mouthful, I know, but you know, we do have mobile apps, which you can get once you arrive at the website to make it easier to get there all the time. I use that app all the time to get my own recipes when I want to make breakfast, for example. We have a daily blog called What Vegans Eat. So if you've learned from the book or the documentary What the Health that you want to go vegan, you don't know how, here's one tool that can help you, this daily blog, What Vegans Eat. It's linked to recipes. I hope you'll join me there. And if you have any comments and questions, you can find me at info@realmeals.org. We've come to the end of another program. Thank you so much for joining me, and have a delicious week.